Hey there, welcome to a special edition of The Horrible Show, our first episode of our 2011 E3 coverage. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamertag JDevil. Tonight we're going to be focusing on the Microsoft press conference, and we've got a crew that The Horrible Show has never seen before. First, starting with our only returning guest, Josh Lee from Nethead. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
And then making his Horrible Show debut, the infamous JP LaFrance.
How you doing? Hey, what's up?
It is LaFrance and not LaFrance, right?
Yeah, we go by LaFrance. Okay. So, but if you want to be fancy and say LaFrance, go right ahead.
Well, after watching the Ubisoft press conference, I've kind of in the mood. So
yeah, I should be a huge fanboy, seeing that it's all, you know, keeping it in the family, if you will.
Well, we won't waste any time. We've got 4 episodes of The Horrible Show this week, and we're going to try to keep this press conference coverage as tight as possible for you so you can consume this and along with the other plenty of E3 media that's out there. But we wanted to kind of give our take on the Microsoft press conference, and we'll revisit the other news of the week in future episodes. But we will get rolling right here with first, let's talk about the games before we get into all the new techie stuff that happened at the Microsoft press conference. And as far as games that were going to be unique to this conference and to the Xbox platform, first I wanted to kind of kick off a game that I'm really excited to see was the demo they had for Tomb Raider. And as being a big Crystal Dynamics fan and a huge Uncharted fan, I've been just waiting to see what lessons the Tomb Raider series has learned in the last few years. And I was really impressed by this demo. Like, as far as what really stood out to me was just, you know, how gritty it was and how close and tight the camera work was in the game. And just the way it followed Laura around in this dark, hellish cave that she, you know, she was fighting off drowning and couldn't see and being chased and cave-ins all happening all around her, and it looked really intense. And just like I said, it still seems like they're definitely learned some tricks from the Uncharted series. I didn't see anything really unique, but the game looked a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, I was really, really impressed. I think up to this point, we'd only seen screenshots, right? They
right.
Didn't have any.
And maybe just renderings. Like, you couldn't even tell if they were like in-game. And,
yeah,
you
sure.
Know, it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, this is the, you know, this is the Xbox that's pulling this off too. Not just Crystal D has built a nice machine here, but it was pressing the Xbox to a nice Uncharted level. And the other thing that stood out to me was there were a lot of quick time events that were very, very heavy rainish to me as far as like how the interface popped up.
Yeah, that was kind of nice, I thought.
Yeah, it looked really cool, and hopefully it doesn't get tiresome, but just as far as they're going really minimal with the user interface, and when actions like that would pop up, it seemed really easy to jump in on, and I can't wait to see more from that. Unfortunately, that's a 2012 game.
I didn't catch any of it, but I read a little bit about it, and, you know, to be honest, if it could come through anything like Uncharted, because, you know, the other guys that have PS3s have talked about how great Uncharted is. I mean, this could be great for Microsoft to get, you know, one of these adventuring type games, because this genre isn't really around on the Xbox at the moment. So, and I have to say that the last Tomb Raider game I played was one of the ones on PlayStation 2, and I mean, you know, polygons.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, Underworld was okay, but it was definitely already lagging behind what, you know, Uncharted had taken the Tomb Raider formula and brought it to the next generation, and now it seems like, okay, Tomb Raider, what are you going to do this time? And now it didn't look to differentiate itself from Uncharted too much. Like, it's kind of remains to be seen if Laura is going to be as interesting character as Nathan Drake. So there's a lot of questions around it, but they're also, the game's not coming out till next year, they're also not going up against Uncharted. So,
well, as long as she doesn't shoot tigers all the time, you know, it should pretty solid. You can only shoot tigers for so long.
Until the dinosaurs show up. The other game I wanted to touch base on, oh, and also to clear up, Tomb Raider isn't an Xbox 360 exclusive by any means, but
no.
Square Enix doesn't really have their own E3 thing, so I'm sure this will be about the only take we see of that unless they show up at the Sony conference. just going or on as we're recording. But we'll revisit that on Wednesday. The other game I wanted to touch base on is they did do a brief Gears 3 demo. Not many surprises. It's Gears 3. It looks gorgeous. And Ice-T was there playing the game with Cliffy. That was kind of funny and kind of pointless. But I do like the fact that they continue to push Gears as being best with a friend. We all played the beta quite a bit, and I couldn't be more excited for that game. I'm trying to think back if there's really anything that stood out other than, hey, that looks like more Gears, and it looks a little bit more polished than Gears 2.
Yeah, to me, it looked like just more Gears, but in a really, you know, really good way, I think, too. I mean, it's not like that game, like, I couldn't sit here and tell you how that game can go forward, like how it can evolve, but it looks solid, looked real solid.
Looked like big, giant, cool boss battles are back. And
yeah, really big boss battle. Yeah, that was really cool.
You know, I don't want to see anything from Gears because, number one, we know what it's going to be. And I don't really want any spoilers with Gears, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, the way that they ended 2 is enough for me because, I mean, you know, 2 was a great ending. I think the ending to 2 was better than the ending to Mass Effect 2, to be honest with you. And it made me more excited, you know, to finish that game out. I mean, I'm stoked for Mass Effect 3, but you know
what I'm trying to say. I think that's, you bring up a good point. It's kind of my, when I go into E3, yeah, I'm excited about finding out which rumors are true and what like big announcements like hardware or tech wise that come out. But as far as the stuff that I know I'm buying, I want to avert my attention from it. Like, I don't want to find out anything more about Gears. I don't want to find out anything more about Assassin's Creed. Like, my purchase decision has been made. So it's been, you know, tricky to try to adjust to covering E3, you know, when this is really, we started the site right before E3 last year. So this is only our second time trying to figure out how we're going to cover it differently than other people. Well, but
yeah, but on the other hand, it's not like anybody ever really shows any real spoilers. It's always early game stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the Tomb Raider thing, I think that was like maybe the first level or one of the first they said.
Probably.
And the Gears thing was probably early on. Or, you know, so there wasn't like a ton of story stuff going on. So, you know, you can avoid the spoilers usually with this kind of stuff.
But even in early levels in some games, though, I don't want to run around and be like, oh, yeah, I've seen this already.
I remember it reminds me of when they first demoed BioShock and some of the stuff they showed off. Like, I remember when I got to play it, I tried to play it like the E3 demo because it was like, oh, yeah, this is the part where I can do this and this. But that game was so much about like almost puzzle solving with the weapons you had at hand in the environment that it kind of spoiled that, but at the same time, it really wasn't revealing anything new. But it's the kind of stuff I was like, I could have done without seeing it, but at the same time, it still got me excited. But there's no right or wrong way to do it, but I just get nervous every time. I was like, no, I don't want to see any more of that, but I kind of have to watch. And anyway. As far as the new tech side, before we get into plenty of Kinect coverage, they are unveiling another new Xbox dashboard. It looks very reminiscent of, you've seen the Windows Phone 7 interface and some of the Windows 8 mocks that were out last week. They are continuing that style, a lot of the, like, carrying over more and more of the Zune Store style to the Xbox dashboard. But everything looks to be voice command integrated, so lots of Kinect usage as far as navigation goes, and the big thing they added was Bing search. Now they're still not letting you do like any internet browsing, but they are adding YouTube support. You've got your media library, you've got Netflix, you've got Hulu Plus, you've got the Xbox Marketplace, all that stuff. So when you do a Bing search using your voice, and I'm assuming you can type it in too, it'll pull the search results from all of those kind of media libraries, which was really slick. You know, they demoed a search for Lego and a search for X-Men, and it brought up all the X-Men games and all the X-Men movies. And, you know, if they're X-Men themed, I'm sure those popped up too. But, again, those demos are always very slick, so you don't really know if it's going to really respond that fast. But voice commands was actually the kind of subtle feature Kinect that got me excited. And the more they integrate that, I think the more useful the Kinect actually becomes to the point where I don't really care so much about the gesture stuff, but get the voice commands actually working well, and I might put down the controller a little bit.
Yeah, at least with a voice command, versus the waving your arms around at the TV, at least you can go right to something. I mean, if it responds quickly, which it seemed like it did for the most part. The searches were a little slow, but I mean, that was, you know, I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Internet connection or something at the, you know, at the conference. I don't know.
And it's hard to tell if like some of it was pre-recorded or live or what was going on.
Yeah, I took that as a sign that maybe it was live, since it was, you know, took a second for those. Yeah.
Was there a little hiccup, you know, where it didn't respond right to prove that it was live?
It was just delayed. Like she would like there was a lady demoing it, and then the MC, and they kind of talked over each other at one point when she was doing a search for Lego, and it didn't. The Xbox didn't respond right away, and he started talking like the search results had already come up, and then they came up kind of mid-sentence for him. So that was the only like small hiccup I noticed, but I doubt it even works that quickly when we finally get our hands on it. But.
Yeah, maybe not. But they also, when they introduced the live TV functionality, mm-hmm. Which that's, you know, that's something that's actually been in there for a while. In the old Dash, you could. I think for a few months, maybe last fall even, they introduced UVerse, AT&T's UVerse TV stuff with the Xbox. You could get a disc from AT&T, and you drop it in, and you just install this app. And if you've got UVerse, now you can just, I mean, it's the full thing. You can't record. There's no DVR functionality, but you can watch your TV. So when I see that live TV stuff integrated, you know, where I can just flip around to the dashboard, go right back to TV, I can check out Netflix, I can do all that, you know, search through all that content with Bing. The first thing I thought was like, hey, it's like Google TV, if you remember that, when that mm-hmm. thing came out and pretty much bombed, except with way more content, you know, that will come up like when you're doing those searches. So it actually looks kind of nice, you know, one-stop shop for like all your, you know, and it makes a real compelling argument for, you know, like cutting other services. I mean, the live TV thing, obviously you're going to have to pay for your cable to get that. But, you know, for somebody like me who's about to cut their cable and just, you know, I go with Hulu and Netflix and stuff, that kind of stuff, that's – I like that. You know, just turn on that one device.
Yeah, so. they demoed it, but they didn't provide very many details. But, yeah, if you can get me that, I'm not having to, like you said, swap devices mm-hmm. very often. Like, I will use my Xbox 360 even more than I yeah. do now. But
it's got to have DVR, though, and I don't think they mentioned that.
No.
If I could DVR with my Xbox through UVerse, I would get rid of one of the UVerse boxes that I have right now. You know, yeah. And just—I mean, I have a 250 gig hard drive, and I still have a lot of gigs to work with. Plenty of room on there that I could, mm-hmm. you know, save shows and go from there. So, I'd be interested if I could DVR, but if I can't DVR, then I could care less. To be honest.
I just love that Microsoft's still continuing every year. They're giving us a revised dashboard, and they're trying out new things. Like, there's just something about, for some reason, I'm okay with almost feeling like a beta tester half the time with this stuff. Like, it was like, you know, when Twitter and Facebook and ESPN came out, they didn't really work as well as expected or advertised, but I didn't feel cheated by it by any means. And the live TV potential is exciting for me, but it's almost like if they can just iron out the kinks now, and then when that next console comes out, I feel like this experience will be much more integrated and like it'll perform a lot better. That I don't really mind just trying out new stuff, and if it works or doesn't, I don't really feel cheated either way.
Yeah, but it's almost like a new device now. I mean, look at Xbox when it came out. I mean, the Dash was different. The content available was different. You didn't have Netflix and, you know, I mean, any of those apps. And the arcade stuff was minimal. You didn't have games on demand. And I mean, everything from just the dashboard like aesthetics and the navigation to the content itself, all of it has changed and grown, and just it's a different device.
It's crazy. Like if you had listed off the features that the Xbox does now versus what you said like at launch, you would think it was a new console.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, Microsoft's just doing this so much better than Sony or Nintendo. You
absolutely
can't even compare. Well,
it's like you and I have talked in the past, Justin, where Xbox has exceeded every single expectation I had for it when I got it, you know, because there's just so much you can do with it now that it's almost mind-boggling. And, you know, like you said, it seems like PS3 is just becoming more and more of a paperweight, you know, at this point. I mean, what can PS3 tout right now is that, yeah, you got a Blu-ray player, and yeah, you have, you know, a somewhat functional online experience even before, you know, the infamous crash, but... Mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I'm happy with my Xbox, and I was a PS2 guy, so
mm-hmm.
They've come a long way, and I'm glad I'm a part of it.
Very well put. We're going to move on to a little bit more games news first. Halo made a couple appearances this time. First off, they formally announced the Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition. It's been 10 years since the first Halo came out, and they're redoing the game in HD and putting out multiplayer maps for revitalizing those old maps, and this is what they've been working on in the meantime. And what was also revealed towards the end was the way the Microsoft conference went out was the teaser trailer for Halo 4, which begins that series kind of all over again. It, you know, with the way that Halo 3 ended, you don't really know where Master Chief ended up or how much time has gone by, but Master Chief and Cortana escape an exploding ship, and Halo 4 is happening. It's a real thing. No one's really surprised. I guess my only surprise was that they actually are calling it Halo 4. I'm surprised they didn't just kind of rename it and kind of, you know, let Bungie have the numbered games and take this in a new direction. But it's kind of, to me, that kind of sets the bar a little bit higher. It's like, we are continuing this series. We are advancing this series.
That's what people want. You know, people want that. People want more Master Chief.
Absolutely. And I have to say that after all these announcements, I'm going to have to go out and buy my first Halo game. And I think I'm just going to have to start with Reach and work my way through that way. Since, you know, Reach is the prequel to 1, you're going to give me an HD 1. And maybe by the time I get around to playing both of those, you'll give me an HD version of 2.
Well, 2 does upscale a little bit on the 360. They did make that that change a little bit, so you won't have a huge drop-off with 2.
Actually, the best version of 2 is probably on the computer. You can crank that up. You can whatever resolution your monitor supports. It actually looks kind of decent. I played those recently after playing Reach, going back through and played 1 and 2. And I got to tell you, 1 did not hold up very well. Like, level design was really
bad.
And the graphics weren't that great. But yeah, level design was a big problem. But just looking at what they showed of the Anniversary Edition, it's not just like a up-resed, you know, like stuff that, you know, you see sometimes people do with XBLA stuff. It was like actually like, no, they kind of like redid some of the level artwork and geometry kind of stuff looked a little different. So maybe they're going to fix some of those problems of very repetitive level design in the second
That'll be key, is how much time they spent with the actual structure of the levels versus the tech looks. I mean, the tech looks like Halo, like current Halo.
Yeah, it looked good. I thought it looked fine. But one thing that I don't think they said at the conference, I think this was afterwards, but they said that was going to be a budget priced game.
Huh.
$40. So $40 for Anniversary.
That's cool. Yeah. So, but you know, it doesn't come with multiplayer, like its own multiplayer stuff. So, like you said, it's just like maps for Reach. So.
Well, and I was going to say that I think that Microsoft especially, but a lot of companies have proven in this generation that if you're going to go take an older game that's 5+ years old and you're going to bring it to a current console, you can't just spit and shine it. You have to do something to make it better, and Microsoft knows that. I don't think that they were just going to kind of polish off Combat Evolved and just kind of say, here you go, because we know you're going to buy it. I think they have a little bit more respect for, you know, Master Chief, who I think we can actually say is a true video game icon at this point. So, you know, but if you look at the Bionic Commando Rearmed, you know, that game did well because it was, you know, 8.5 bits basically. So, or 2.5D, whatever you want to call it.
And I think Microsoft kind of recognized that, you know, Master Chief status like that as that icon and they also announced that it was going to be a trilogy. So it's not just 4, there's going to be 5 and a 6.
For some reason, I guess I'm just surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, but I wanted them to try to take it in a different direction. But granted, they don't show any gameplay of Halo 4 by any means. It's just that trailer. So
yeah,
surprised in that I didn't expect 4 in 2012. I didn't expect what we're now calling 4 until at least 2013. And I figured that we would see Anniversary in 2012, not 2011. So.
Well, they had to do Anniversary this year to hit the 10-year mark, though.
or you could have done it early next year. I mean,
true, could have gone fiscal.
Concrete, you know what I mean?
I guess it almost seemed like the predictable thing to happen was announce Halo 4, but because of that, I almost didn't expect to see it. So, you know, really curious to see what 343 Industries can do with the franchise, and you know, if it just continues being Halo, or if they what new things they do to it. But I, you know, for someone who's a fan of ODST and Reach, I'm glad to see Master Chief is back. So, which surprised me. Like, just I reacted to Master Chief, like you're saying. He's kind of hit that icon status, and he's kind of Xbox's mascot. So,
well, Sega's got Sonic and Nintendo's got Mario. So, right. You know, what's Sony got? Crash Bandicoot.
Not anymore. Who does Sony have? That's a good question.
Another
Sackboy.
All right, now let's move on to what everybody has been waiting for. Kinect.
Great.
Who's everyone again?
I'm not sure. I wasn't as put off with this first batch of games. We'll talk about what I'm going to do is just they mentioned a ton of games, and I'll just try to recap. And you guys can correct me where I'm wrong, where they were utilizing Kinect in some of these bigger franchises. But first, kind of the core games. Mass Effect 3 was shown off, and I'm sure there'll be much more as far as Mass Effect 3 news in the EA conference. But they did show off a little bit of the voice commands and using Kinect, where you can make dialogue choices as well as issue commands to your squad mates, both of which I won't use. But okay, thanks. I was surprised at the fidelity of the voice recognition, though, because they still had like the two or three phrases that Shepard can say, and if you have to say the sentence, and it knows what you've picked. So, but it just seemed like an unnecessary addition.
Agreed.
Ghost Recon, all the Tom Clancy games. Ubisoft came out and said all the Tom Clancy games will be using Kinect support, and they demoed a pretty slick looking. How useful it is, I'm not really sure. It's called their gunsmith mode, where the guy was basically customizing weapons to a ridiculous degree. They said over like 20 million weapons are possible in this game, where, you know, I don't know the parts of guns, but removing the scope and the handle, and yeah, people are cringing right now. But they did the thing where you could basically exploded the gun into the little pieces, and through voice commands or through gestures and you could make selections to swap out and make new guns, and then you could instantly demo it. And they demoed it by shooting the gun in using Kinect, which was – I was curious to see how they would do it. And it looked like the guy would kind of put out his left arm to aim, and then his right arm, he'd have it in a fist. And when he would want to fire, he would open his fist and then close it when he was done firing, which was – I was just curious to see how they would do shooting a gun with Kinect. And it looks stupid, but it looks like it works.
Well, and it looked way better than that, you know, like pointing your finger in the shape of a gun and making your thumb go forward, you know, something like that.
I think that's what everybody's afraid of. And it's like, oh, at least it's not that.
But I got to say real quick that I know it did look kind of slick. Like it looked like it worked really well, that the whole he's like spinning that gun around and, you know, adding attachments and stuff. And but all of it looked like it would have just been way faster with a controller.
True. Yeah. But I don't mind it. I don't mind it in the kind of gallery modes, which is what that was kind of showing to me. So
if you're not playing the game like that, then that's okay. You know
yes,
that.
Yeah. Like I don't mind that option, but it seems like a kind of a waste of development time. But that's another. Crytek came out of nowhere with a non-shooter and announced Rise for Kinect, which looked to be kind of a gladiator Roman battle game, and
I've heard it described as 300-esque.
Yeah, it did look kind of 300-esque. First person on rails, swinging swords, killing dudes, but definitely more mature graphics than some of the other titles that were shown. Another on rails game that was demoed was Fable: The Journey, doing a bunch of magic spells to kill a bunch of Fable characters. lots of gestures, like. It was the game that made me say, you look really stupid playing that, even though like you're getting into all these kind of magician poses and conjuring up huge spells, but it looked kind of boring that way. Like just it looked unnecessary. And but the one thing I did notice was he was sitting down playing the game, which was kind of nice to see that you don't have to stand up all the time. Dance Central 2 was shown off. They didn't really talk much about it other than you can do two players at once, which is what the first one was missing, and I'm sure that they will add more features to that. a brief thing on EA Sports, just saying that FIFA, Madden, what else? FIFA, Madden, and PGA Tour will be using Kinect, probably more voice commands and motion controls, but they didn't really demo that stuff. So,
which golf makes the most sense of any Kinect, you know, kind of joint project, is because, you know, Kinect should be able to recognize a swing in some way, shape, or form.
How is it going to pick up, like, the rotation? Like, I mean, you guys, I'm guessing, have played, like, the Move or the, like, Wii Motion Plus, like, Tiger Woods stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the fun of it is playing on, like, the harder modes where it picks up every little rotation of your wrist and you're shanking it, you know, and, like, into the woods. Like, that, you know, the harder it gets, the more reward you have for, like, a good, you know, nice swing. Like, how is the Kinect going to pick up that, the little wrist rotations?
That was my exact reaction, too, is, like, you can't – honestly, the Move and we are better suited for golf. And my other reaction was, this was the time that you introduce props like that. I think the Kinect probably can use it, and they need to introduce them. They need to stop with this Euro the controller bullshit. But
I guess we're jumping ahead here, I guess, based on the discussion. But with the new thing that they announced today, that's live. I heard that you can, when you do like avatar poses, that you can put a stuffed animal in the picture, and that animal will transfer in.
Yeah.
So that maybe they're with props at the moment, and slowly going to work that way.
Well, yeah, that's something they talked about before Kinect launched. Like, that was something where they said, you know, like, you saw these like little, you know, it was like a canned, you know, video thing that wasn't actually you doing it. So I don't think the tech was maybe there, but they showed like a kid scanned in his like skateboard, and he's standing on the thing, you know, in front of the TV. And they actually, and that was, how long has that been now? Like a year?
2 years, maybe.
2 years. Okay. And so then the lady that was, one of the ladies that was talking about that kind of stuff with the pillow, she actually then turned around and said afterwards and said, oh, you can scan in your skateboard and whatever. Nice. So it sounds like they're doing that. It's like that technology they were showing off, or they're hoping to, you know, have implemented, you know, maybe probably sooner than this, I'm guessing. Looks like maybe that's actually going to come to fruition, but you know, we didn't see it, so we'll see. The pillow thing, that was just like, that was one that was not the same as holding a golf club, scanning it in, and then making it show up on the screen. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I have a really hard time believing that. I mean, I'll see it when I believe it with that stuff, because unless you're standing in front of a green screen, how in the world is it going to track those objects like that and separate it from the background? I don't know.
Yeah, it was the toughest sell they were doing. But moving on to what JP was talking about, the Kinect Fun Labs, which apparently I haven't checked, but is available on 360 right now as a downloadable, free download. It's basically Kinect demos that they're encouraging developers to put out, and just like fun little one-off games or one-off experiments where you can play with the Kinect. All the stuff that we've been seeing online with people using the development tools and putting them on PC and not everybody having access to them, they're trying to get those out to the audience. And I think this is a really smart initiative, as long as the stuff is free or really, really cheap. And, you know, I think the more stuff like this that, you know, I haven't been using my Kinect, give me a reason to use it. And this is a fun diversion, and hopefully leads to actual useful interactions and cool game implementations.
Well, it's probably just a nicely skinned beta test at the core.
Yeah.
They're encouraging the community to play around with this, and they're going to take all that data, and they're going to probably find a way to make Kinect better, because, you know, Microsoft has put a lot of, you know, time, money, effort, and brain power into making them the number one console in the country. So. Yeah.
Well, and let's be honest here. A lot of the game developers that have currently implemented Kinect into the games really haven't been doing anything just really mind-blowing.
Right.
So doing something like this, you know, getting anything like community involved, anything where, you know, all the stuff they did when they put out the drivers, you know, for people's PCs, and guys were doing crazy stuff like using the Kinect to take like real-time 3D video of yourself, like you can, I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, where you can spin a camera around your, you know, yourself there sitting at your desk, like that kind of stuff was like, wow, that looks really, really cool. And you know, really, like the game developers aren't doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. Microsoft's not doing that stuff. So seeing some of these things, you know, it's, I think that you're right. I think that's where, like, you know, where people are going to actually maybe get back into like using the device.
Last things, just want to wrap this up real quick. Just touch base on a couple other games. The other kind of big announcement, I don't know how exciting this is for some fans, Josh, you can speak to this, but they did announce that Minecraft is coming exclusively to 360 and will use Kinect. What was your reaction there?
Well, I do play a lot of Minecraft, I mean, it's cool. You know, hey, Minecraft on the Xbox, that sounds good. If you can control a first-person shooter, any first-person shooter with a controller, you're going to be able to do Minecraft because it's the same, you know, on the computer, it's the same controls, mouse, you know, WASD, whatever. So I think it'll, you know, probably control just fine and all that, and it's not like super graphically intensive and stuff, so it'll run great. The Kinect support, though, they didn't go into any details at all. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's voice command. You know,
who knows?
Minecraft character select dirt, select shovel. You know, I mean, what are you going to do with like? The first thing I thought of though really was like, what am I going to do, like a shoveling motion as I'm scooping up like 100 squares of dirt? You know, a second. Like, I mean, you know, your guy moves pretty quick when you're using a controller, so. I really hope I'm not waving around, you know, making scoopy motions or
maybe it's pickaxe. It could just be chat too. Like, honestly,
You know what? That would be really good. Cause for me, the fun of Minecraft is the multiplayer, you know, the social experience, like doing stuff together. So that would be really nice, to have some voice chat built in or with some, like maybe some video, like where's like the video overlay, you know, chat stuff in the middle of games. Like that's
a good idea. The other games that are more worth mentioning just in, I don't want to lump Once Upon a Monster in this because Double Fine is awesome and Tim Schafer's making a game for his kid. And they did the demo of Once Upon a Monster, the Sesame Street game, and they had a father and son come out. And it was the most tolerable of the kiddie games that they showed. And
super cute.
Yeah,
super
and, cute. And I'll walk around like a monster, even if there's a kid around or not. So, but the other games, man. They had Disneyland Adventures, which is Kinect Adventures and Disneyland theme parks and rides. And then they had adult Kinect Adventures, Star Wars Kinect, which that's all they looked like to me, was like different versions of the sports, different skins on Kinect Adventures and the sports.
That's exactly what it looked like.
And also, like, regardless of the motion control stuff, the graphics in the game itself for Star Wars looked awful. Just like it looked bad. And these demos are painful to watch, so I recommend watching them because they have to get these poor unfortunate actors or developers or people to come on stage and just, you know, act over the top that they're just having a blast with the Kinect.
I thought the Star Wars graphics, like, I didn't think they were too bad. I mean,
there's a couple, like, just really bad muddy textures, and it looked
But, I mean, they were doing a huge variety of, like, environments and gameplay. I thought at first it was a minigame collection, and maybe it was. They end up showing a whole bunch of the lightsaber combat, but, man, it was – I remember, like, wasn't it last year they showed, like, a little brief, like, clip of, like, a guy, like, using a lightsaber to deflect a bunch of blaster shots, and it looked obviously staged.
Yeah.
But this looks like that's probably the result of that, you know, and boy, does it look bad.
They had a lot of lightsaber stuff. They had some force powers, which is what everybody kind of gets excited about. But it still looked kind of clunky, so that's unfortunate. But they did have a lot of vehicle stuff, which it looked like it was going to have a lot of variety.
It was very Rogue Squadron-y in some of that, you know, some of those shots, which that kind of looked fun. But give me a controller.
And based on my experience with Kinect Adventures, kids are going to eat up the Disneyland Adventure stuff. It's got, I mean, they're the same type of mini games that from Kinect Adventures, but it's overlaid with all the Disney characters and Disneyland landmarks, and it looks like there's probably some stuff where you can walk around the parks and get to stuff. So, not for us, but it's going to sell a lot. But kind of
let's be honest, a lot of the Kinect stuff is not for us.
Yeah, yeah. At least they're trying, and they're, you know, the stuff in Ghost Recon and Mass Effect and Ghost Recon and Mass Effect, like, it's dismissible. Like, I don't have to use it, and it's not really hurting anything. I don't mind the voice command stuff. Like, if you get it working well, and that might work for some people. But at least I'm not breaking the game by trying to, like, really force something in there.
And, you know, in EA Sports games, like, if I could call my plays in Madden, and, like, if I went no huddle or something like that, that would be awesome.
That would be kind of cool, yeah.
You know, I know that they abandoned the NBA, but if they were still making NBA Live and you could call for a pick and roll or something like that in the middle of the game, that is how that stuff would make sense. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can't skate on the ice and shoot a hockey puck.
Right. All right, let's wrap this show up. Just some quick game industry shout outs. Anything else going on around E3 that you wanted to point out? Josh.
Yep. Okay, so this was, I thought this was like kind of bigger news. I thought this should have been, you know, they should announce this on stage when they were talking about, you know, all the live stuff and the interface stuff with the dashboard. They put out in an email after the conference that Xbox Live will be getting cloud storage for your saved games and your profile stuff.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And so, like, you know, I mean, there'll be times where I'm, you know, trying to play on somebody else's Xbox, I got to remember to put my save game on a flash drive if I want to take something over there to, you know, continue a game or whatever. And just, I mean, you know, I know right now you can recover your gamer tag online, but it doesn't bring like
bring the saves over,
any actual content over. You know, it's just there's your name shows up when you're playing. But
and I also don't have to panic about losing that USB stick because like that I move my profile around a lot, and it has like when it has saved games on it. Sometimes I worry that I'm going to lose something kind of important, but now it's all out there. So
well, and those hard drives are they're not SSDs yet; they're mechanical, and they fail. I mean, I've seen a hard drive actually die. So in you know, oh gosh, you just lost your crap. I mean, it's not like Microsoft recovers that stuff for you.
Yeah. You know? Another side of that announcement to add on to what you got, they also announced beacons, which are basically you can set. I think it was just games. It might be more stuff, but basically, in your profile, set highlight games that you're always willing to play. So when you're, the idea is that you know, if I would set Gears of War 3 as a beacon, but I'm on Netflix, you could, if a friend came by and saw I was watching Netflix, it could quickly see what beacons I had out there, so they wouldn't be afraid to ask me to play Gears of War 2 at that time. Because I think
that was a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to set statuses, and because it's hard to just jump into games, especially when you see Netflix or Hulu or something open on somebody's Xbox. I always assume they're watching a movie with their significant other, or it might not be them. And I won't, you know, if that beacon's up or whatever they have to do to set that, like I'll reach out for more games at that point. So the other Microsoft announcement that caught my attention is, being the downloadable game fans that we are, is they did announce the Summer of Arcade lineup. And some of the standout games, one that we featured before, is Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. Looks like they're doing a sequel to the popular Toy Soldiers game. Mm-hmm. You will also get our hands on Fruit Ninja Connect, which I will buy. And that'll be fun. I don't even if it's done badly.
Come on.
What's that?
Cut the rope, then, should be right after that one.
Yeah.
That's not as fun as throwing fruit up and slicing it and looking like a fool. And then, not really surprisingly, a game that's gotten a lot of coverage, Bastion, will also be.
That looks fun. Yeah. I want to play that game.
Yeah. JP, why don't you take us home?
Todd Howard hooked up with Spike TV earlier in the day, and he gave a pretty extensive, like, 7 or 8 minute long demo of Skyrim and the new creation engine, and it was just unfreaking believable. You know, he showed a lot of footage of, you know, the rumors are that you could dual wield swords, you know, two spells in each hand, and he showed a lot of that, and it was freaking awesome. But the best part was is he showed a dragon fight that just threw my jaw to the floor. You know, he demoed the dragon calls, you know, and so he showed one where, you know, your character can breathe fire like a dragon, and then another one that you call a storm, and the storm has lightning that attacks your enemy. I mean, I can't wait for this game, and I can't wait to see a Fallout game get into this.
Nice. Can't wait for step two.
I'll jump to step three and four with them, man. It's a beautiful engine.
And we'll talk more about it later, because you were already going on to earlier off the air about Battlefield 3, but just the fact that new tech continues to impress even in this generation. Like, the fact that they're still able to squeeze more and more out of these systems is really cool.
And it seems like there's more to squeeze when you look at, you know, when you look at Frostbite 2 and you look at the creation engine. I mean, you know, Todd Howard said in the demo that they're trying to push this, you know, as far as they humanly can. And I almost wonder if they could go further. So
this is why we love E3, honestly. That's the, like, you almost have to dig harder for these hidden gems, but when it makes your jaw hit the floor, it's all worth it. So,
absolutely.
Well, thanks, gentlemen, for joining me tonight. The Horrible Show will be back again tomorrow, taking a look at the Nintendo conference. And then Wednesday, we'll be taking a look at the Sony conference. And Thursday, wrapping up everything in a little bit longer show. So we'll be plenty of E3 coverage yet to come this week. Thanks for visiting Horrible Night, and we will see you tomorrow. Later.
Have a good one.